Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Fun, entertaining, knowledgeable.
All right.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Right.
Live and local, it's time for the Fan Morning Show with Bart Winkler.
Good Tuesday morning to you. I'm Toby Altizer alongside Tim Shea here in the Lakeland University studios. Earn co-op credit for work experience at lakeland.edu. Talking Milwaukee Brewers baseball, and when I'm talking Milwaukee Brewers baseball, there's no person I'd rather talk with than Tim Allen from the Gene Wagner Plumbing Baseball post-game show. Timmy, what's going on?
What's happening, Toby Wan? It is, it's a Tuesday morning in which the Brewers' games are being magnified as we move along, not only in the season, but in the series and in the stretch and the dog days and the pennant race. And these games are starting to get just a little bit more magnified. That being said, we talked about it last night on the show. I'm wondering why I wasn't as emotional in last night's loss as I was on Sunday. I mean, it is the Cardinals. So that probably plays a little bit of a part in that. But it's just like, okay, it's a big game, but is it as big as the Cardinals series? Now, again, magnification of these games is going to accelerate as we move along. So maybe tonight's a different story.
Yeah, I mean, I certainly hope so. But it's so hard to have faith. Tim, you and I have been beating the drum for this Brewers team saying that, look, there's a chance. Get them into the postseason, see what happens. At this point, the postseason isn't guaranteed anymore. And I want to have faith that this team can do stuff, but when they have games like last night where, look, you had a decent outing from Freddie, just getting you four innings there. I know you'd like to see him go longer, but the Dodgers were doing a good job of extending at-bats, and you're still getting him acclimated, but only giving up one run. All right, so then you turn it over to the bullpen, and then Willy Adames throws one away. And I was listening last night. I'd agree. Why is Strzelecki in that game in that sort of situation? But even so, I think he came out there and pretty much did his job outside of Willy throwing the ball away. Giving up four runs to the Dodgers, as stupid as it sounds, should be counted as a win when you look at that hitting staff. And yet the Brewers can't even manage a single run. And so it doesn't even matter if you only gave up one or two, you didn't stand a chance. And it's just tough to have faith in this team when in the second half, at least you'd seen an offense come out and be consistently putting up something for this pitching staff. And now it looks like they're, I know it's only been four games now of real struggles with the Cardinals series and then one game against the Dodgers, but it looks like that offense is trending towards being the offense we saw in that first half again.
Yeah, and they had big stretches, big window of time where the offense did exactly this. Runners on third with less than two out, table set, first and second, no outs. You don't even come away with anything in a lot of those situations. We went through that in the first half in a big window. Then they got it together, and you could see some of the potential of this offense. And, sometimes you have to work with, and this is just me, and I know a lot of people are really calling for the small ball and however you define that, because there's different definitions of how you define the small ball. But I think it's situational, and in last night's case, you're down one zip, and not it's not panic time per se, But I think a message sent across the diamond when you answer back a little bit, your offense has been struggling. So if you know that, instead of just riding it out, being a little more on the bullheaded side, trusting, giving your guys confidence, that all plays a part. And I can appreciate that. But sometimes it's, hey, man, I need to get this even. I need to somehow get this even and answer this Dodger team back. It gives my pitching staff a little more confidence on the mound as well. And I would have bunted. I really would have with Willie up there, two on, nobody out. Just get a runner over and leave it up to McCutchen to get the ball in play, get that score back to 1-1. But that's me. That's just, we all know that's not Craig Counsell. It's just not going to happen. I would have done it just because it's more than just the 1-1 tie. It's a message sent across the way. This was a big game in that, you know, you couldn't get through the first inning again. First inning of the first game of a series. That might get to me more than a lot of things in baseball. I think that means a lot. And those of you that have listened to me for many years, you know how I feel about that. Can you get through the first inning with a moderate pitch count and no runs on the board? It's always a struggle. And when you fall behind, he had two outs. Pitch count was a little heavy, but then it's a solo shot from Freddie Freeman. And you're like, oh, man, see, Dodgers set a tone here, and off we go. Now, you mentioned, you know, that four-run output by the Dodgers. And I think you're right in that that gives you a chance to win. And now it's late on the offense. The pitching, I will say on a positive note, Jason Alexander saved a lot of arm in that bullpen last night. He really did. Now, why wasn't he the first to call out of the pen in that fifth inning? Maybe it would have made the difference. I you know, in terms of that one unearned run given up by Strzelecki, Tim Shea's boy. He's a big Peter Strzelecki fan.
That's my boy.
He's wearing a Strzelecki jersey today, too.
Got it on today.
That's right. But, I mean, maybe it makes a difference. Probably not. You need to actually score to win a baseball game. So that's where it lands. But thank goodness for Alexander. And you need to answer. Now, this is pretty important, too. Is this game tonight as big as Saturday night's game with Burns on the hill to even up the series against the Cardinals? I don't think so if you're going to measure the magnitude and size of this game tonight, but it's a pretty sizable game. It really is. And Woody, I mean, absolutely outstanding since coming off the IL. He, again, is going to give you a good chance to win. And those of you doing a side-by-side comparison, wow, take a look at what money can buy in batting averages up and down that lineup. Boy, just money well spent there. Yeah. Isn't that funny?
Yeah, that's definitely the truth. You look at that Dodgers lineup and, I mean, it is spectacular, and like you said, it's money bought. I mean, some of it's trades and stuff that they've done, but for the most part, when you can spend the money like the Dodgers can and have, then you can win those games like that because you have the guys. You do have them. I want to get your thoughts on this, Tim, because if there's two things we've seen out of the Brewers this year in their offense, I don't know if it's posted in their clubhouse or something, but it seems like their two big tenets are the long ball and patience at the plate, right? They hit lots of homers, and you hear this stat brought up all the time. The Brewers see the most pitches per at-bat in teams in the majors. In general, I think that's a good idea. I think having patience at the plate is good. But do you think that's maybe an outdated philosophy to have at this point, Tim? Because you think back to the older days, you think back to 70s, 80s, 90s, and even just 10 years ago, when you had a guy coming out of the pen, he might be a soft thrower, he might have one or two pitches that are okay, but in general, you want to see the reliever. Now, you might get the starter out of the game, and don't get me wrong, you want to get Julio Urias out of that game because he's a stud. But in general, when you bring in these relievers now, they're all throwing 98 and got a wipeout slider. Is that maybe an outdated philosophy that the Brewers need to look at of maybe trying to ambush these guys a little bit more as opposed to trying to get them out of the ballgame? Because getting into the bullpen, I don't even know if it's as good of an accomplishment anymore as it used to be.
Against Strzelecki, leadoff hitter swung two of the first four pitches. Second batter swung three of the first five pitches. The batter swung two of the first four. Now, I don't know if you by definition want to call that the ambush or the attack. Maybe you would. I go back to the Cardinals series and Matt Busch in the game. Look what the Cardinals did late in that I think it was game one. 10 of 12 pitches. All 12 pitches thrown by Banton Bush, 10 of them were swings by the Cardinals. There's foul balls, there's swings and misses. It's certainly in there. There's balls in play, obviously. 10 of 12. It does seem like the kiss of death sometimes when Craig Counsell says his game plan, you know, it's sitting there with Uecker on the flagship on the pregame show, and Uecker says, well, you know, Craig, what's your plan against this cat? And he's like, well, we got to show some patience. That usually is a bunch of strikeouts and about a 2-3 run total.
Yeah.
because I don't believe I've seen it. Now, someone could do the math and do the research on it. I don't think there's been a situation at all that I can recall, and I do kind of follow this sort of thing, that a Brewers offense swung at 10 of 12 consecutive pitches. I don't know. I'm sure at some point it's happened, but you know, in a clutch situation, you just see the attack, and these guys run on energy a little bit. This is a chemistry makeup that is, you know, Willie Adames energy and smiling and let's go and let's, you know, look at McCutchen. He's always on the attack. Maybe some of that can drip off into the rest of the lineup, but if that's the case, that this is an edict sent down from the manager, I think sometimes swivel from that and just go get a guy. Just go get a guy. Get him on his heels, and we just don't see that as much as some other teams.
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to see some changes, but at this point, I think they kind of are where they are at. And I know you're going to be the more positive one, and we've got plenty of negative people, but where do you stand with this team? Are they making the playoffs? You still think they got a good shot to be there?
Yeah, I questioned myself yesterday on the air, and that was, am I not upset because it's finally dawning on me? It's finally, it's a complex issue for sure, but you know, I've processed, could it be that this team just isn't what it is and they're not going to make the playoffs? And that's why you're a little chill on a 4-0 loss to the Dodgers. And then I went, no, that's not the case. They're still a good baseball team. I'm gonna stay with it. And as I said, you talk to me on September 24th. Let's check the situation there right now. I do recall where this team has been. I do know that two games back in the Central with 48 to play is in no way, shape, or form ever an opportunity to just throw in the towel and join the Dunn Club. It's just you can't do that. Not in baseball. Too many weird things, too many sideways things can go down, and you just never know. Now, I have given up, however, on the 1 or 2 seed. Now that part, I might be headed back to my corner of the ring and grab that towel and just kind of throw it in a little bit. The wild card is not out of contention, and the division clearly is not out of contention. So yeah, I argued with myself internally, and I won the argument, and I'm not giving in.
Talking with Tim Allen, the host of the Gene Wagner Plumbing Baseball postgame show here on the Bart Winkler Morning Show. Toby Altizer filling in for him. Tim, I'm going to play you a highlight from last night. I know it's not going to be a highlight you like, but here's what I'm talking about. If it'll play, hold on. Here we go.
Into left center. Long run for Yelich looking up, and it is gone. Gavin Lux, the Wisconsin kid, hitting a two-run home run. Dodgers double their lead. Went the opposite way against the lefty.
Am I missing something? Does Gavin Lux play for the Brewers now? Or
my ears are hurting.
Is that a little odd that AmFam sounded super? I get the local kid angle. I do get that. And cool that he gets the homer in his home state. But come on. Are we cheering for the Dodgers now? Like, what's going on?
I know Gavin. I've had him on the air. I went to high school with his mom. My son played ball with him and against him. And I got to admit, good kid, really good dude. and a hard worker, and got some great advice from his uncle, Augie, who was a first-round selection by the Blue Jays back in the day. He got some really good guidance and a good kid, and that's sort of a homecoming of sorts. He'd been there before, but a homecoming of sorts with that long ball there. I like him, like, right now, this minute. But we can get him in the batter's box against the Brewers. Can't stand that kid. I hate him, you know? I mean, he would understand that, too. But, yeah, I hear what you're saying. I'm sure a lot of ticket requests out for Gavin, and I'm sure his family is always there. It's right in the neighborhood here for him. But, yeah, that was something. I heard even the announcers occasionally last night say that a lot of Dodger blue in this audience, a lot of Dodger blue. Well, guys, it's easy to be a fan of a lineup like that. I mean, it just is. And that's the problem with baseball. And I'll go back to it. This is the one time, Toby, and we haven't gotten to it yet. It's just been one show, one postgame show against the Dodgers here this year. This is the opportunity to really take a close, detailed look at the economic structure of baseball, how absolutely unfair this is. Mm-hmm. We're losing common sense here, I think. If anyone, and I'm calling out writers, broadcasters, if you guys really believe that this is fair, and hey, just throw your hands up, that it's not a big deal, you're fooling yourself. All of you guys are fooling yourself. This is a $100 million difference in a season's payroll. This isn't a collective five-year stretch where a team spends $100 million more in a five-year stretch. This is in a single season, $100 million difference in payroll. Someone needs to say, enough. Enough of that. Because the Brewers, last I checked, are part of the Major League Baseball system. They're not the Generals to face the Globetrotters every day, every year. They're not in a position to just provide an opponent. That's not the state and the art of competition here. This is absolutely 100% unfair, and you mask it up, Major League Baseball, you mask it up with the stupid nonsense of, well, they're getting a luxury tax, or there's revenue sharing. Yeah, it's ludicrous. It really is. Now, some of it, Toby, and I want to get your response too, but some of this is on the payroll system and structure of your own organization and your ledgers and your profit and loss. Some of it is, but the lion's share of this, it's 100% not fair.
Well, you're dead on, because, and this one hits home for me, Milwaukee's always going to be at a disadvantage for this. But even some of the middle to bigger markets are not even being able mm-hmm. to stand up to it. Why is a team in Washington, D.C., is D.C. a small market, Tim? Oh, am I missing
something? Huge metropolitan area.
So why is a team in D.C. not even able to afford? Only teams in L.A. and New York can now afford these guys? Is that the only thing? And then San Diego, because they're the only team in San Diego, can find a way? But they're still in California, so they just find
a way. Chicago could, but they're just choosing not to. They've got revenue out of their tails, and they just choose not to.
And that's what's so crazy is you can pick out a couple markets that say, you know what, they can afford the guys. And then if you have a few of them, like the Chicago, that decide that they're not going to, then they all just end up on two or three teams, and they're all in L.A. or New York. And that's fantastic for Major League Baseball when they think, oh, yeah, well, we got the New York teams that's good. We got the L.A. teams that are good. Maybe we'll have another Subway series, and that's great for us, so that's good for baseball. Yeah. And it's just not.
No.
It's not.
No.
Like, being able to watch these guys and spread it out. Like, how awesome was it? It might not have been awesome for the NBA, but how awesome was it to see the Bucks win a championship? And I think that was a very popular win. You know, people are going to come out and say various things, but seeing a guy in Giannis Antetokounmpo decide to stay in Milwaukee and win a championship here, I think meant a lot to, obviously, the people in Wisconsin, but a lot of fans like Giannis more because of it. Are you ever going to have something like that with baseball, or is it just going to be that every guy that is like that, just because of the amount of money that they can be offered more by another organization, ends up playing for the Dodgers or the Mets or the Yankees? I don't either.
No. No, you can't blame the players at all. No, nobody. I don't think anybody in their right mind is going to blame a player. Now, after you're a veteran, seasoned guy, you've made a ton of money, you got a bunch of money, maybe you want to go home and you accept a little less, and maybe you grew up in the Pittsburgh area and that's been your dream to play for the Pirates. That part of it I get, but I don't blame these guys for throwing their hands out there and people just piling money onto it. Not at all. It's a flaw in the system. And again, I could probably hit up on Twitter or whatever, some social media, or saying Tim's whining about the economic structure of the game again, and that's fine. But don't fool yourself. You're foolish if you think this is fair. And this nonsense of, look at the Royals did it. Okay, yeah. The blind squirrel, he's going to run across. He's going to be wandering around and bouncing off fences in your backyard. He's going to step on an acorn once in a while. He's going to find it. That's essentially what's going on. It's a bunch of blind squirrels trying to make things line up for a given year, and then it just goes away. It just goes away because, you got markets like Philadelphia even just pouring money in, just sieves of money. Just going in, and then you have the Brewers, which, again, as I said, just real quick, part of this is on the ownership. If they want to invest more money, they're welcome to do that. However, that has to be balanced in a singular type situation. You're not going to, you as a business owner, wouldn't pour money in just to prove a point into your business. You would pour money in if you're going to have a return on it. Mm-hmm. Does Adonisio get a big return if he's going to float a bunch of his reserve money into his business? There's no guarantees of that. He wants financial certainty also. And that's what he doesn't get if he's going to go ahead. And I'm sticking up for him a little bit. If he's going to go ahead and try and match the Dodgers, that from a business standpoint would be insane. He would not make any money for years if he did that.
Yeah, I mean, that's for certain. One last one for you here, Tim. Looking at center field, big problem. You've, advocated for it. I've talked about it a little bit. One of these prospects, Frelich, whoever it is, I know we want them up. What are the chances we actually see any of those guys?
There might be. I talked to Adam McAlvey yesterday, and he's thinking Terang might be one of those guys. Kind of a hidden sleeper kind of prospect, flying under the radar a little bit. I think at some point you have to look at the numbers. And you have to say, what is Jonathan Davis providing us? He's not providing us really anything now, right? And I've never talked to the guy. I'm sure he's a good dude. Nice defensive glove. But what is he providing now, which is almost nothing, hardly ever plays. But also, is he even a sliver of a chance to help the future? And so you have a twofold situation here. Does he help now, and is he part of the future? And I think the answers would be no on both of those. So that being said, where do you benefit from bringing Garrett Mitchell or Weimer or Frelich or whoever? Where do you benefit with that? Well, at least you can benefit as he's part of the future and getting his feet wet in the big leagues and just starting that process here. As long as you're not going to play him anyway, which you're not in Jonathan Davis' situation, so why not bring the other guy up so he at least gets his feet wet in the big leagues, as I said, and starts his career. And, oh, by the way, maybe he comes up with a hit here and there. Maybe he hits the ground running. Now, I will say this, that this is something to keep your eyes on with Jackson Chourio, who is the number two prospect, according to Baseball America, in all of baseball, and he's a Brewer product. He's 18 years old, and he's the number two prospect in all of baseball. Let's keep an eye on this. Toby, I know you will. You've seen the Juan Soto at a young age hit the ground running. We've seen it. Bryce Harper hit the ground running. These guys find themselves in an all-star game, having banner years at 20 and 21 years old. If he's the number two prospect now at 18, let's see how they handle this, or is it a regimented system here that they waggle their fingers at us that say, hey, bring him up, bring him up. No, we have a system here. They must play X amount of games before they come up to the big leagues. They need to taste every level of the minor leagues. before they get here. They have to have certain metrics before they get here. All of those things, and which may or may not be the case. I don't know what their schematics are on that. But you have finally a chance at this very moment in time. Check back in a couple of months in the offseason. Chorio maybe drops to number 18. But let's watch this to see how the Brewers handle a stud prospect. It's fascinating to me to see how that's going to turn out. What do you think, Toby, they're going to do?
I think he's going to – I would hope that by – I don't know that next year is realistic at 19, but we saw Soto come up at 19. Mm-hmm. If he's still tearing it up, I'd love to see him. Here's the thing. When Juan Soto came up, you'd mentioned Bryce Harper. He's the number one pick. He's expected to be a stud. He comes up. Juan Soto wasn't. I remember people in D.C. were thinking – wow, the Nats are overreacting to an injury and bringing this dude up too early. And then he played himself into a spot and he never left.
Never looked back, right.
You know who reminds me of something like that? A guy like a Sal Frelick. A guy who just hits. He just finds a way. And if you give a guy a shot in the big leagues, he might not work. But guess what? Like you said, Jonathan Davis, he's not working either. So if anything,
what's
the
part of the future?
Exactly. If anything, what's the worst that happens? He bats 215 and you send him back down to the minors and say, hey, you know, at least you got your feet wet. We'll figure it out again next year. Like, I don't see the cons to this. And if you're saying, well, you don't want to start the service timer on him. Okay, that's fine. But you've got five or six outfielders. You've got them. So why wouldn't you at least try it?
And you've been struggling to get some augmented help out of your farm system in terms of position player group. So this is a legit shot at that. You have a legit shot, not only with him, but I think everyone would agree that the Brewers farm system is much, much improved.
Yeah.
On the position player side. So, you know, tinker with this. Well, it's more, Toby, than, you know, just hitting the big leagues. I think we underestimate environment, and then that's part of the process. Is, you know, these guys need to get up and find out where I'm going to sleep tonight. You know, that's a transition. And I know people are going to say, "Oh, Tim, they get paid a bunch of money, and you can handle it." No, I mean they're human beings. They need to know where's home? Yep. Where's home? Where can I go grocery shopping? Where are some restaurants? All these things play a part in their comfortable sort of grasp of things. And, you know, the quicker you get these guys to do that, and I always bring this example up over the years, Toby, it's like these guys even to the point where it's like, where's the bathroom around here?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's little things like that. Where do I get my money? Is it food? Where do you guys want to eat? What time? When does the bus leave? All those things come into play. And the quicker you get those things out of the way, the quicker they can focus on the field.
Yeah, and real quick, I'll let you go in just a second. You traded for Asturi Ruiz, too, a guy that's already been in the majors. Why wouldn't you consider him?
I think that's the guy. If I had to put my finger on it, I think that's the guy. And everyone's going to accuse Stearns of trying to save face on the trade. So I'm buckled in and prepared for that. But I think it's probably going to be Ruiz.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be an interesting thing to watch down the stretch. Hopefully we're covering this team into October, but who knows at this point, Tim?
Never know. I mean, hey, I'm still eyeballing. Let's see. Saturday, November 5th. Is Game 7 of the World Series. You never know, man.
Yeah, I mean, I'd love for it to be the case. I would.
I'll tell you one thing right now. I booked a trip to Las Vegas, and my departure date is Saturday, November 5th. So I want to make sure that I got all seven, just in case the Brewers go seven, to kind of hose out the New York Yankees that day. I can stay here and then get to Vegas.
I love it. Tim, appreciate the time, man.
All right, Toby. Great job.
Hey, you heard from Tim Allen. He's the host of the Gene Wagner Plumbing Baseball Postgame Show. He joined us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. If applying for a home renovation loan has you feeling anxious, breathe and let Great Midwest Bank help you experience a state of tranquility. Get started at greatmidwestbank.com today. Also want to remind you that right now on The Fan, it's a 7 a.m. Wendy's What's for Breakfast hour. Is it a Wendy's Breakfast Baconator combo, or is it a new Wendy's Hot Honey Chicken Biscuit combo kind of day? That's sweet with a kick of heat. Any of the Wendy's breakfast combos, now you know what's for breakfast at Wendy's. One guy we mentioned in there, Giannis Antetokounmpo, we didn't get a chance to talk about some of his comments from over the weekend yesterday. We'll talk about some interesting things he had to say next during the Bart Winkler Morning Show with Toby and Tim.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
12:50 a.m. The Fan. I'm Toby Altizer alongside Tim Shea. Here on the Bart Winkler Show in the Lakeland University studios. Earn co-op credit for work experience at lakeland.edu. And it is the 7 a.m. Wendy's What's for Breakfast hour here on The Fan. Is it a Wendy's Breakfast Baconator combo day or a new Wendy's Hot Honey Chicken Biscuit combo day? Any of the Wendy's breakfast combos, now you know what's for breakfast at Wendy's. 414-677-1250, 414-677-1250 if you want to call in or tweet us at 1250 AM The Fan. Something that was interesting we didn't get a chance to really talk about yesterday with all the Brewers talk and talking about the first preseason game for the Packers. Had some interesting comments from Giannis Antetokounmpo over the weekend. Where did this come from? I'm not exactly sure what this press conference was at. Where was this?
Was he in Greece or
I don't know
Europe
what he was
somewhere
doing. Maybe he was at that still doing that
tournament
Eurobasket thing. Yeah. I don't know. But either way, there was a press conference of some sort where Giannis Antetokounmpo was asked about maybe playing in Chicago one day. And here are some of his comments.
I think anybody who asks that question that plays basketball, if he said no, he'd be a liar. You know, it's a team that won multiple championships. It's a team that one of the greatest players, if not the greatest player, to ever play this game, played for. So it's a no-brainer. Everybody would love to play for Chicago. Down the line, you never know. You know, you never know how life brings it. Maybe I play for Chicago. But right now, I'm committed to Milwaukee.
All right, so coming off of that, is there anything there? Is that something to worry about?
No.
I don't think so either, but... is there maybe a little bit of something there? I don't really think that there is. Maybe you're a little worried. Again, you can give us a call at 414-677-1250, or you can tweet us at 1250 AM The Fan. I kind of think this has the same tone, Tim, that we've heard him give in the playoffs. We've heard him give in other press conferences of, I don't know what the future holds. Who knows? You know, we heard him talk about, and I got frustrated with him during the playoff run. Like, dude, stop saying that you're not the best player in the world. You are the best player in the world. Start owning it. But that's just who Giannis is. He's going to be a humble guy, And when he looks at it, I don't know the future. He talks about that in playoff series. He'd be like, yeah, I mean, we could win. We could lose. Who knows? I don't know the future. And I think that's kind of what this is as well. I don't know that there's a whole lot to take away from this. I mean, he mentioned Chicago, and I think it would be cool if you're an athlete and you're someone that grew up during, you know, watching Jordan and the Bulls, of course. Yeah, it'd be cool to throw on a Bulls uniform and play the same place that Michael Jordan played. Yeah, so I get where he's coming from, but at the same point, I don't think this means that he's leaving for Chicago. You know, and the good part is, maybe it's just because it's not the NBA season and football's kicking off pretty soon, I didn't really see a ton of overreaction, even from just national pundits. Like, I didn't see people just going nuts, like, oh, Giannis is leaving. Like, I think you saw some little bits and pieces here and there, but I don't think in general this has any sort of meaning that Giannis is going to end up leaving Milwaukee anytime soon. Like, I think he's committed to play for the Bucks as long as his contract, and then after that, who knows? But I wouldn't think that this just means that down the road you got to expect Giannis to be out of Milwaukee and headed to Chicago. I just don't think that there's a whole lot that, I mean, maybe there should be a little bit of worry just because he mentioned it, but I think this is different with another athlete. Like, if we're talking about someone else other than Giannis Antetokounmpo and someone that we've covered for a while, you know, if this is Chris Middleton that says this, I think there's something there. If this is Drew Holiday or someone like that that says this, I think there's something there. But with Giannis saying this and just the various things that he's had to say in the past, I don't know that there's a lot there. I really don't. I just don't think that this doesn't mean that, oh, Giannis is leaving for Chicago as soon as he gets the chance, or Giannis wants out of Milwaukee. And I saw someone else tweet out, too, that I think it's interesting. This is almost like a backhanded way for Giannis to say to John Horst, you better not fall asleep at the wheel. You better keep going for it. Every single year I'm trying to win a championship, and if you're not, well, you're not guaranteed to keep me in Milwaukee. I don't think that's necessarily the full extent of what Giannis is trying to do here. I don't think he's going out of his way to say, hey, Horst, make sure you keep putting that winning basketball team out there. I don't know that he's just continually prodding him about it, but I wouldn't be surprised if that's a little bit of the seed that he plants there, is saying like, hey, we're going to still be competitive as long as I'm here, right? Because if not, I've got other options. It was kind of like that, what, Jerry Jones quote with Mike McCarthy. Hey, if we didn't believe in him, he wouldn't be the head football coach here.
I have choices.
I've got choices. Mm-hmm. Believe me, I've got choices. Like, what the heck is that supposed to mean? Don't say that with your head coach right there. But I think that's kind of where it's at with Giannis. Like, if he needed to go somewhere else, wanted to go somewhere else, he could. But I don't think this means that he's leaving Milwaukee. I mean, if you want to talk about it, you can. I don't really think there's a whole lot there, but I think that is an interesting clip from him talking about possibly playing for the Chicago Bulls down the road. Maybe that is something you'd see. I don't know that I'd be frustrated with him if he left at the end of this contract. How old would he be, in his 30s? Like, if he decided to go somewhere else, Tim, would you be mad if Giannis ended up leaving after the end of this contract?
Not at all. Not at all. He's done so far what he needs to do.
He's going to be a legend in Milwaukee, uh-huh, pretty much no matter what he does.
Oh, he's getting a statue. He's going to get his number retired. He's gone into the Hall of Fame. He's getting everything.
Yeah,
so I'm fine. I don't
know that he ever leaves, but even if he does, I don't think that just sours everyone on Giannis.
If he never leaves, he'll be a legend in this city.
I mean, he's going to be a legend either way.
Yes, but if he never leaves, like, he is going to be the guy.
Yeah, I think that would be really cool if he never went anywhere else and he is the face of Milwaukee
sports. He might be the greatest Wisconsin sports athlete ever.
Yeah, I mean, he's got to be up there. He's got to be up there. I'd still take Aaron Rodgers.
If he stays his entire career, though, and wins another championship.
Okay, well, he's got to win another championship. If he wins two and Rodgers only wins one.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, I guess you can say, I mean, MVP there awards. There's four MVPs for Rodgers. Giannis should have won more than just, what, two?
There are people out there that think there's some 82 Brewers that are, you know, the greatest Wisconsin athlete out there. And they never even won a championship. Robin Yount, Paul Molitor, Gorman Thomas.
Yeah,
Raleigh Fingers.
True. That is true.
So,
I don't know. I mean, you definitely go down as probably, in my opinion, the greatest Milwaukee athlete of all time. I don't think there would be any question about that.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe. Who knows? I mean, that'd be a fun discussion we'll have at some point, but let's save that for once we're kind of talking about these guys and reminiscing. I think that Giannis could get there. He absolutely could. I'm excited to watch him again this year. They've got some games on Christmas this year. We'll talk about that coming up next. I'm excited to see what they got coming up on Christmas Day. And, I mean, basketball is going to be fun to have back because now you're going to have a motivated Bucks team again.
And you have a team that will actually win, right?
Yeah, a team that is actually competitive and not just thinking about bites at the apple. Gosh, man, I can't stand that mantra. I really can't. And yes, I get that that's the baseball thing compared to basketball, and basketball's got a salary cap, but I still come back to this, too, because we talked about this the day when we celebrated that year anniversary of the championship last season. Do you think that a Brewers World Series would honestly touch that?
It might.
I don't think it would. I think it's because of the guy we just heard from, Giannis.
It's hard to say.
Because Giannis chose Milwaukee.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I guess if Yelich were the same guy and he did something like that, if he were still playing at that MVP level and he led you to a World Series, maybe you could say something like that. But I just don't think you could touch that championship because Giannis is that guy that everyone loves. You can't even hate the guy. Even the people that dislike the Bucks and dislike Giannis the player can't dislike Giannis the guy. And so he chose to stay in Milwaukee. He finished the job. And I think it's hard for me to say that anything's going to touch that because he accomplished his goal. He wanted to stay in Milwaukee and win a championship. He wanted to stay here. He could have gone anywhere. He could have gone anywhere. He was the most coveted guy in the NBA. And he said, you know what? I'm choosing Milwaukee, Wisconsin. I'm staying there. I've got a job to finish. And he finished it. And he's a humble guy about it. You know, he's the same guy that wins an MVP and everyone's talking to him about it the next year. And he said, I don't want to be called MVP anymore. I'm not the MVP this year. That was last year. Let's focus on what's going on now. And I think that's kind of the same exact thing that you hear in this answer here. That same guy that's saying all that is what's saying this and that, yeah, I mean, sure, down the road maybe I could play for Milwaukee, but right now I'm playing for Chicago, but right now I'm playing for Milwaukee, so that's where I'm locked in, that's where I'm dialed in. If that down the road that happens, it happens. Otherwise, great. But I'm just going to focus on playing for Milwaukee right now, and I think it's a good spot to be in if you're the Milwaukee Bucks, having this guy as your superstar. Sure, it might be frustrating to hear some of these comments like this because sometimes he's a little too honest with the media and stuff like that. But, hey, man, I will take that with Giannis over a lot of other stuff you get with other NBA superstars, that's for sure. All right, we'll take a quick break. When we come back, the Bucks are going to be playing on Christmas. We'll talk about that. We'll get into some Badgers football coming up in the next hour. And, of course, we'll get into some Packers as well. It's the Bart Winkler Morning Show here on 1250 AM The Fan with Toby Altizer and Tim Shea. More comes up next. 1250 AM The Fan, it's the Bart Winkler Morning Show. I'm Toby Altizer, that is Tim Shea, live here from the Lakeland University Studios, talking with you guys about the Milwaukee Bucks. Talk about the Giannis thing, I don't know there's a whole lot there, but one thing that is cool, and I guess one way that you can know that you've made it into the NBA's elite, is when you get Christmas games day or year after year after year after year. You get another one this year for the Milwaukee Bucks. Looking at the Christmas Day games for this year, and that's slate. This, according to Shams Charania of The Athletic. The Bucks will play the Celtics. The Sixers will play the Knicks. Suns will play the Nuggets. Lakers at Mavericks. And Grizzlies at Warriors. So that'll be fun to have another Christmas Day game. You're going to have Bucks, Celtics, and you're also going to have the Packers on Christmas.
And it sounds like they might kind of match up.
Yeah.
Just kind of run into each other.
Do you like that the NFL's trying to take over Christmas now?
I do.
You do?
Yeah.
I kind of don't. I was for me, the one holiday that was like, all right, this is a basketball holiday.
The more sports, the better.
I get it, but Christmas is something that, like, it's hard for me to get on board with, like, watching TV all day.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, Thanksgiving I can get on board with, because if nothing else, you just eat and then go sit in the living room and
watch football
all day. And I'm totally down for that. Like, that's great. But Christmas is more like hanging out with family, opening gifts and everything. I feel bad if it's just like, leave me alone. I'm watching the Packers.
Only 3 hours. I mean.
Well, basketball's on all day, and now there's three football games.
Exactly. I like it. I just. Sometimes.
You not have family, Tim?
No. Yeah.
Do you not love your family, Tim?
No, I do. It's just sometimes, you know, you need to get away for a couple hours from them.
Yeah, like all 12.
No, not
all
12.
All the basketball
just,
and all
know,
the football.
The Packer game's on, and then the Bucks game is on. So that'll take up most of the day. I'm fine with that.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just not a huge fan of them kind of taking over. Because for me, it was open gifts and watch basketball all day. Now it's getting switched and the football's in there. I'm not going to complain because I love football. But it does take away because for me, when it comes to basketball, at least before I worked in the business here and covered teams and everything that goes with that, that was kind of the start of basketball season for me. Like, I check everything out. I know what's going on. But Christmas was like, okay, now it's really time to lock in. It's been like a month and a half of basketball at that point. And so now, or 2 months of basketball at that point. Now it's really time to lock in. I don't like that they're taking over on Christmas Day. But the Bucks have another Christmas Day game. I think we already understood that they've made it. They obviously won NBA Finals, but they got another Christmas Day game. But the other thing that people were complaining about, the New York Knicks, they've got a game on Christmas. People are sick of seeing the Knicks on Christmas. I kind of think the Knicks are like the Detroit Lions on Thanksgiving. Like, yeah, it might get old. Yeah, maybe they don't deserve the spotlight of playing on that holiday every single year, but this is just kind of what you get. And I think there's something iconic about playing at the Garden on Christmas Day. I mean, I don't have a problem with the Knicks playing on that day. And now you've got this question, like, can they put the Nets on these games? Because, you know, Tim Shea was talking to me in the break that national TV providers are a little bit worried that I don't know if I want to put the Nets on national TV because a little bit worried that Kevin Durant might not be in town anymore. And talking about all those things, Kyrie Irving, who knows what happens with that Nets team. That is an interesting thing to watch. But I think that overall, I have no problem with that slate of games. It's going to be an interesting one to watch on Christmas. You got the Celtics and the Bucks. I mean, that gives you some intrigue. I think the Celtics play in the opening game, opening night of the NBA season as well. So, I mean, overall, it's going to be an exciting time to have the NBA back. I mean, it's just nice now that we're starting to get back into this point where all the sports are starting to come back. You know, baseball's nice to have, and it's fun, and it usually comes with good weather in the summer, and that's awesome. But football season's starting to come back. Now we're starting to see the basketball schedules come out.
Would you enjoy if the, Redskins, Commanders?
Excuse me?
Sorry. Commanders?
Yeah.
Played on Christmas?
I'm always down. I'll drop everything to watch them.
There you go.
Yeah. So, yeah. But they're never going to be good enough to play on Christmas, so who knows?
Yeah.
4-1-4-6-7
They get Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
And that's more prestigious,
that's
right?
That's against the Cowboys, and that's fun. I love that. I do love that. When it's against the Cowboys on Thanksgiving, that's one of my favorite things. Because then you can wear the jersey to dinner and all the great stuff. I'm doing it anyways, but now you can actually have a reason to wear it. 414-677-1250. Let's get one phone call in here before we hit a break. Notebook Mike is on the phone. Mike, what's going on?
Gentlemen.
What's going on, Mike?
You know, I like the Dolphins when they had the old uniform. I think they have the best uniform in the whole league.
The Dolphins?
Yeah.
I don't mind some of them, but I don't mind some of the old school, but Chargers, man, come on.
Okay, that comes in second. But I liked when the Dolphin had the helmet on.
Yeah, now, the 70s logos.
You were just saying, team's not good enough to play in Christmas?
Yeah.
When's the last time Miami was relevant?
It's been a while.
Thinking caps on.
It's been a while.
Maybe 20 years ago.
They're going to be exciting to watch this year, at least on paper. I'm excited to see what they look like.
And I don't know if your call screener's right there. I was telling the Jets.
Yeah.
Jets in Miami. That was a huge rivalry. Because you got the Jets, you know, your common working man. And then they figure Miami, they're sitting on the beach.
Mm-hmm.
But what a Christmas day, eh?
Yeah, are you a fan of having all the football games on Christmas Day? Or are you like that for a basketball day? Or are you always just,
well,
anytime you can watch football?
That?
I think there's 3 football games on that day. I think there's, what, like 5 or 6 basketball games?
I think they're overloading it because a lot of people do spend time with their family. I don't because I can't stand my sister, but.
Well, geez, Mike.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's overloaded. So what time's the Packer game?
The Packer game's at noon. There are three games. So it's Packers, Dolphins on Fox, Broncos at Rams.
Plays when?
They play at noon. The Bucks will play at 1:30, I think. That's tentative.
I might have to hook up two TVs.
All right, so
but
real quick, here's what the games are. It's Packers, Dolphins, then Broncos, Rams, then Buccaneers, Cardinals.
That's pretty good. Real quick on Giannis, there's a quote, tomorrow is never promised.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care who you are. He could be a Laker in 3 years. He could be. I don't think he'd play for Chicago because he probably doesn't like the cold weather. And the Lakers would give up the farm to get him. So, you know, you never know. Doesn't he have a brother playing there still?
Yeah, I don't know that that's going to happen. I don't think he's going to end up going out there. He's not going to get traded, that's for sure.
Kareem did.
Okay, well, Kareem and Giannis are two different people.
And real quick, this swoon by the Brewers, the Phillies won a World Series, and Ryan Howard and Jimmy Rounds, they went in the tank.
Mm-hmm.
Our old team's in the tank. The only one hustling is the bad boy. And if I was called up by the Brewers and my family called and said, we want to come see you play, I'd get a milkman ticket. At least you can see some muscle.
Mike, appreciate the phone call, man.
Wish me luck.
Well, best of luck to you, Mike. Hope everything goes well. 414-677-1250.
The NFL's really spreading out those Christmas games because Christmas this year is on a Sunday.
Yeah.
So normally you would have a slate of games. So they're playing those three games on Sunday and then a full slate on Saturday.
Now we're talking.
There's a game on Thursday and then there's a game on Monday.
Ooh, now we are talking. So that's what I want.
You're going to have your Christmas week.
I want 7 days a week of football. That's what I want. Just find a way to do it. 7 days a week. And make the nights that are the least watched, just make those games the whack ones, like Lions-Jags or something like that.
And that Broncos-Rams game.
I'll still watch it.
Well, also, so it's on CBS. It will also be on Nickelodeon.
I know you're going to be watching that broadcast. Nickelodeon.
The Slimecast.
I can't deal with that. I can't. All right, we're going to take...
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.